I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges. This is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 19. It's Hobart Union, Saturday at 1 o'clock at Boswell Field. Joined, as always, by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
We talked about this last week, the wind and the weather at St. Lawrence, and we get up there, we get out of the car, it's howling, it's left to right, but a little diagonal, and we said this is going to be an old-fashioned special teams and field position ball game, and that's what it was, and you were able to make that work for you pretty much right from the start.
Yeah, again, a credit to our special teams group, but I thought we had a good plan going in. Coach Rip and the specialists, we had knowing that we've played up there in the past with wind. You know, the 2018 game was very windy and had a huge play in that game. Every time I've played up there, I feel like the wind's always going in that one direction, kind of how the field opens up. So we kind of knew from an offense and defensive standpoint how we wanted to call some of our plays offensively and defensively into the wind, and then when it was in our back. And, again, I just think our two kickers in particular, I mean, all of the specialists did well, but Toby and Vicente did a really good job kicking and punting and really using that to our advantage throughout the game.
Toby had a touchback into the wind, a kick that was bouncing around at the five. You almost had a chance to pick it up. And then I thought Vicente did a great job. It's tough for a punter to change your routine and kind of change that attack angle, because if you popped it up into that wind, I think they had one that was like 13 yards or something. He did a great job cutting the wind.
Yeah, and that's where we talked about it. Sometimes it's not always just the long punt you're going to have. It's can you prevent that really short one into the wind? And the one time we punted into the wind, he really drove it. And again, just wasn't as long as his other two, but ultimately did as much as we could to try to flip the field position. And I think in a game, I mean, we always try to, if we can win the field position in most games, I like our chances in terms of just the execution of a short field for the offense and a longer field to defend for the defense. So, we pride ourselves on being strong in special teams, and I think our guys really came through on Saturday.
It's not a very sexy stat, but you're number one in the Liberty League, both in net kickoff and net punting, which is a credit to the guys kicking and to the coverage unit. You'd only given up one punt return yard all year. They finally broke a 23-yarder, I think it was, on a punt that was over the returner's head, and it just looked like the coverage guys on that one didn't think he was going to run it back and maybe got a little out of their lanes.
That's exactly what happened. I think we had two younger guys as gunners who earlier in the game saw that the returner didn't pick it up when it went over his head. Vicente, put a boomer of it. I think it was like a 68-yarder. Really impressive, and unfortunately, that's, we could have had him pinned even more, but our guys relaxed for a split second, and then credit to one of our other freshmen, Noah, coming down, who made the tackle. But we learned from that on Sunday, and I think the next time we're in that situation, those two guys will do a better job understanding that you got to finish the play all together. And I'll never presume that the returner's not going to grab it and be in position to make that play.
It was the same situation with the coin toss that we saw at RPI. The home team wins, takes the ball. You get choice of wind in the second half. At RPI, you wanted it right then in the third because you were behind and wanted to get right back into the game. This game, you were ahead and decided to take it in the fourth. Was that the biggest difference? Was that you felt like you were in control of the game at that point?
Yeah, a lot of those decisions go from how the flow of the first half's going. I thought in RPI we wanted to flip that momentum quickly and just really show the defense that we could score on offense and give them the lead. And, and it worked in our favor in that game, flipping it and getting that two-possession lead heading into early in the fourth quarter. For this game, I thought that, St. Lawrence had a lot of their success in the second quarter going with the wind against our defense, and I felt confident in our defensive staff and our defensive players on just some of the adjustments and just talking through, maybe where we gave up some of those plays, how we might be able to slow them down. And I also thought that offensively that we could maybe shorten the third quarter with a long possession, which proved to be true, and make sure that we had that win in the fourth quarter if and when we needed it at that point. So, each game's different and every scenario is different, but those that kind of go into some of those decisions on, when to take it with the win, which quarter, and ultimately, I think it worked out in our favor in this game.
How important was it to get the 3 points in the opening drive and to come away with something?
It's always important. I think for us, and it's surprisingly because in the past, when our defense and offense and special teams are all working together, we tend to give our defense a lead and then can build off of that. And I think some offenses will change how they call it against our defense when they fall behind. This year, unfortunately, just for some slow starts, we haven't necessarily had that same offensive production early in games. So I think coming out, I thought we executed pretty well in the game plan. Hit a play early on that got us down in the score zone. Missed an opportunity on third down, and you know, again, just felt with the wind at that point. You know, instead of going for it on fourth down, getting those 3 points was crucial. And I think just any time you can start off, and you want seven, but if you can get the three, it's a good start for the offense.
I thought you called a great timeout at the end of the first quarter. You got to play with the wind to score a touchdown. You got to kick off with the wind, and they had to run two plays into the wind before the end of the quarter. And then when they had a similar opportunity at the end of the third, they didn't take it.
Yeah, I think clock management, you hear a lot of games won and lost on that. You know, I think that was just one of those where I thought the field position was that important. You know, obviously timeouts are always crucial, and looking back, maybe one timeout would have helped us right before the half. But I think what it was one, I wanted to make sure our guys were on the same page for the fourth down execution for the touchdown, which we did. And I just thought kicking off with a win, if that saves us a significant amount of yards, that it's a good decision. Ironically, I mean, flipping it back, they threw into the wind. I mean, if I'm them, they should run the ball the first play and then get the win. But again, ultimately decisions are made across the board, and we wanted to, you know, hopefully put our guys in a better situation, and I thought that timeout worked in our favor.
Eight penalties, 100 yards. At one point in the second quarter, you had five penalties, every one of them for 15. And, I mean, some of them just weren't even close. The quarterback's running out of bounds, and the kid chucks him when he's over the sideline. Pick up a guy, sling him down. What did you have to say about that when you watched film Sunday?
We addressed it. We talked about it at halftime. That was one of the things we talked about, is that, you know, especially on defense. Unfortunately, most of those were defensive penalties. Now, one or two, I would argue, you could say that that's, I mean, the first play of the game. The quarterback sliding as our guy's in. I don't think that's a 15-yard penalty, but I understand why they threw it. But our defender, you can't tell him not to go in and tackle the guy. He's already committed to the tackle. So I do think a couple of the 15-yarders were maybe not merited, but there was one or two, and unfortunately on third downs, that kept them on the field. And I think that's where one of them is a D lineman chases a quarterback a long play, and it's tough for that guy not to. He has to be able to, so we address that. And then even the tackle, I mean, he's taken him to the ground. It was just unfortunately that our guy was stronger and bigger, so it looked worse than it actually was in terms of tackle. But so some of the calls, I see why they called it. There was two or three that just can't happen. And I think those are the ones that we need to clean up. And, you know, it's a fine line of playing aggressive, which we want our guys to be able to, but play smart while we're doing that. So I think there's a difference of, again, the first penalty, although I understand why they called it, to me, we have nothing to say to the safety. That was a play that he's going to make. He's got to go in and tackle the quarterback, and he slides late. That's on the official to say that that's not a penalty. But they threw the flag, no worries, we come back and do it. So I understand some calls will go against us. It's the very clear ones, like you said, where the one on their sideline right in front of him, that was just a poor decision by our young man, and he knew it, and we talked about it, and he didn't have another one the rest of the game. So can we learn and grow from it? And if we do, then we'll be better off this next game.
That's the best combined running game we've seen this year from Denham and Boswell. We saw Bos and the Wildcat. I guess I've been talking all year about the injuries, but it looks to me that I think part of it's been injuries. Part of it has been, I think, that the running backs have been a little tentative picking the holes. Would you agree? I mean, sometimes you just have to get up in that first hole, take your 4 yards, and come back to the huddle. And sometimes it looks like they're looking for that perfect run, and instead of getting the four, they're getting a loss of two, and now it's second and 12.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, and I think it's tough to judge off of past experiences because we've all seen everyone at their prime when you're 100%. Neither one of them right now are 100%, and that's the reality of it. But I also know that sometimes those guys at whatever percentage they are still solid backs. I think that I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. I think that at times, knowing that up front we haven't blocked as well as we could have, as efficiently for some of the holes. I also believe that it's some defenses are putting the extra guy in the box. I mean, I thought that one of the things we haven't hit a lot of those big plays. So I think statistically, I thought it was a solid running game, but we didn't really have many past 15, 20 yards, which is still a fine, solid running game. It's just when you don't have maybe full capacity, or you miss a block here, and part of it was our perimeter blocking. So, I mean, there's so many things that go into it that it's not just back on the running backs. But I do believe that's where our offense has had to modify this year, is that we've had to kind of recalibrate and see where can we be productive. And one of the things I thought was the balance in the passing game. You know, that game right there was closer to where we want to be in terms of having balance between the run and the pass, not just on play calls, but productivity, efficiency. And I thought that, you know, we missed some games. We missed some throws in the pass game, and we also missed a couple in the run game. But we were able to stay on the field. The time of possession was significant in that game. I think it was 38 minutes time of possession. So even though the yards weren't as maybe as large as someone might want to look, again, I'm not a big stat person. At the end of the day, what did we have to do to win the game? Some stats drive it more than others. And even though our yards per carry was down, I thought that it was a solid day of running. And when we didn't hurt ourselves in the run game, it was actually even more productive in that standpoint.
Well, and what you did is you had two long drives into the wind, which is a bonus to get those drives and score. But then it also, you know, the opponent's looking at, oh, we got the win in this quarter, but then all of a sudden they don't have the ball.
That's a great feeling. You know, when we're going well on offense, and you know, obviously some days better than others, that when we can possess the ball and then ultimately end up with those points, especially against the wind, you know, and I think that's the key, is that was part of the game plan. You know, maybe we had a couple more things I wanted to do in the passing game, but I also know an incompletion stopping the clock versus running that clock. Sometimes it was really concerted in some of our decisions going into the wind in both of those quarters, and then actually we were fairly productive going into those. So end of the day, really a great job by our players going out and executing at a higher level than we had the previous week.
Defensively, we talked about how the pass rush is a lot more than sacks. For a long time in that game, you didn't have any sacks. You got a couple late, but what you did was get in his face. He's throwing off his back foot, and he had an intentional grounding, threw a couple away legally, and pretty soon you're kind of in the quarterback's head, and every time he drops back, he's thinking, I got to get rid of this.
Yeah, I think Coach Green and the defensive staff mixed in some more pressure, you know, this week and a couple times than they were disguising and get out of it. So I think if you can make the quarterback and the O-line, those two, if you can make those two groups uncomfortable, then sometimes pressure doesn't always have to equal sack. It can be, like you said, a throwaway, or you know, sometimes just maybe a guy might be open and he misses it because he feels like he's got to get it off a little bit quicker. So, you know, we definitely had some voids that we needed to fill in the passing zones early in the game, and we made some adjustments. And I think over the course of the game, some of those mixed pressures, I mean, for example, on the interception we got, you know, we were up showing all out pressure and we bailed out. And there was other times when we came and we got hits on the quarterback. So you're right. I think ultimately mixing in and having the ability to make sure that they can be uncomfortable is more important to us than just how many sacks we get.
We saw probably the most wildcat Boz, I think, that we've seen all year, especially that one drive down on the goal line where you got the, I think it was a fourth down touchdown. Is there something in particular you like about that set on the goal line?
Just the ability that you know, we're adding in with three tight ends, you're adding in an extra gap for a team to defend. And you can, a lot of teams will run the quarterback plus one sometimes, you know, and we've been able to run our quarterbacks a little bit, but sometimes I like the ability to know, and it's also a mindset. We're telling our guys, I mean, hey, we're probably going to be running it. You probably know we're going to be running it. And it was a little bit of a confidence builder for our offensive line. You know, when I do that, I think there's a understanding that teams are going to pack the box and come after a little bit. And the other part of it was, I think, with our ability to be able to run in both inside and outside in either direction, it kind of forces defenses to have to choose your poison. Are you going to try to pack the box and you miss, then it's a bigger play, or are you going to be patient and see, can you get the slow stop? And so in that game, those were two of the situations. And I also thought where we were in the score zone, it could dictate some of the coverages we were going to see. So there was many reasons to it. And I also thought, like I said, I thought Tim was running well. It was a way to compliment. And I think the touches came up pretty even between the two. I mean, trying to keep a balance between the two guys. So kind of what we practiced throughout the week was what we were able to go out and execute.
And I also thought, again, the pass coverage was very good. The secondary is not letting very many people get open lately.
Yeah, I think they it's the consistency piece, and I look at it from a different lens. It's the same way, like, even when we talked about on offense, there's certain areas that, hey, it looks good, but I'm always looking at where can we get better, and I think the same thing from our defensive standpoint. I think our coverage has been solid, and I think they got one or two in that second quarter that just a combination. Again, playing some of those zones, it's not just one guy. It's two to three guys either rerouting or closing some of those gaps. And sometimes it might be a half a second longer for, if our rush doesn't get home and that you're in coverage. So there's a lot of factors to it. But I do think our back end has done pretty well, and they'll be tested again this week. So I think the more and more we can get some of those guys reps, especially at the linebacker level, for some of those intermediate throws, the better we'll be.
So Union comes in this week. They're very good. We know that. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. And it's a bit of a grudge game. Do you try to dial that down some or sort of focus it? There's going to be, we talked about all those penalties. When these teams meet, there's always those 15-yard retaliation ones, after the play. How do you address that whole harnessing your emotion and being fired up but not going over the edge?
Yeah, I think there's certain games you don't need a pep talk with, and our guys don't need a pep talk this week. They know. They understand the magnitude of just certain games, regardless of records. And I think they know this one's always, especially last year, the guys that remember last year's game understood how that game kind of played out. So I do think in any, games that have maybe, it's funny because as coaches, we don't put more on a game. Like the way we prepare for St. Lawrence, the way we're going to prepare for Union. But inevitably, the players sometimes see it as a bigger game than it needs to be. So it's a making sure that, some games we got to downgrade a little bit and say, hey, just go back to what we need to take care of. And some games you need a little reminder to get the guys up for. But this one, we won't need a pep talk. Our guys will be focused. And I think we have to understand that they're already a good enough team. We can't help them with 15-yard penalties. And it's already showed, not just this year. I mean, the one thing is we're never going to be, because of the style of play that we run on offense and defense and special teams, we're never going to be the least penalized team. So there's, I say that out there because some people want to say, like, hey, there's too many penalties. Well, we also play an aggressive defense and an aggressive offense. You can't choose your both.
By the way, is the most penalized team in the league.
Yeah, so I think teams that run the ball, typically you're going to get more penalties than teams that throw. That's proven, just because they're going to be more apt to call holds in the run game than they do sometimes in pass protection. Teams that are blitzes and teams that are more aggressive and move around are tend to going to have more. I think what we talked about earlier is we just got to make sure that we're sound in our decision-making, especially on defense. I think retaliation penalties, and it happened, unfortunately, in last year's game, were emotion-driven versus, reaction-driven. So making sure that we have a good, good mindset to understand that even if it's a cheap shot, even if it's someone's, trying to get my goat a little bit here, that's not the time to retaliate. And I know that's easier said than done. You and I can handle it, but sometimes 18, 19, 20-year-olds have a tough time handling that. But We'll make it very clear that that's not going to happen, and we're going to have to play a really clean game, not only in all three phases from an execution standpoint, and making sure that we're not putting ourselves at any disadvantage.
Do you talk to the officials about any of this stuff before the game and say, just, watch the stuff that happens at the bottom of the pile? And the other thing is blowing the whistle. To me, there's sometimes that they don't blow the whistle quickly enough when the runner is stopped, and that's where you get that fourth and fifth guy jumping in and hitting somebody high while he's already wrapped up around the ankles.
Yeah, we talked to the officials beforehand. I think myself, I make it very clear, I'm the only one that's going to talk to our officials. So I don't let assistant coaches, and sometimes that's where younger coaches and maybe less experienced coaches will get so caught up in the emotion where people see me on the sideline. Usually I'm not complaining about calls. The call's been made. I want to know more how we can coach up our guys so it doesn't happen again, or just make sure that the official can articulate why that call was made. And I think officials that know me, that we talk beforehand, I'm not saying, hey, look at this, look at that. I think they understand that we're there to do our job, they're there to do their job, and I trust that they're going to do it to the best of their ability. I think the difference is that from crew to crew, week to week, we're seeing a different crew. So how one crew might call, again, simple is what you just said is very true. When the whistle blows, there's some times where they're going to let it play on, and then how do you – I mean, we're coaching our guys, play to the echo of the whistle. Well, if you're not blowing the whistle, and then all of a sudden if a guy stood up and then there comes in the big hit, there goes the 15-yard penalty. But at the end of the day, the whistle's not blown. And if we're not doing our job and that guy continues to run, then guess what? Then we're going to coach up our guys, say, hey, you got to go make that tackle. So I think that's where some of those penalties can sometimes be, maybe from the bystander up in the stands and say, well, why is that? Well, the whistle hasn't blown. You get a 225-pound athlete running full speed, and all of a sudden you ask him to stop on a split second, that's not always going to happen. So I think that's the part of, one, our guys play aggressive, and, we talk about the second guy coming in and getting the ball out. You want to create turnovers. You want to be a great defense. You want to be great offense. You finish off blocks. That's why I say it's a very fine line of making sure that we're playing hard, we're playing aggressive the way we've been coached up to do, but also making sure that we're sound and we're not doing anything that's unnecessary.
You mentioned time of possession last week. I mean, I think that's going to be huge again this week. Would you agree that if you get 38 minutes time of possession, the best way to stop this offense is keep it off the field?
Yeah, I think as a play caller, and we haven't had it a ton this year, is, you know, I go in and we have a lot of great plays that we want to call and different personnel groupings and different guys to get touches to. And in some of those games, especially early on, if we haven't been successful, and we talked about other teams, you know, you think about two or three of those games when they didn't go in our favor, we weren't on the field a ton in the first half. Well, that's productivity, but it's also then we're trying to call things to set some other things up or evaluate, you know, potential matchups. And it'd be different if we stayed in the same personnel in the same formation. We're not one of those teams. We're very personnel-driven and formation-driven to create some different matchups and really play that chess game with defensive coordinators, how they want to play us. And I think the other part is we want to keep our defense rested. A rested defense typically plays a little faster and a little bit more better at executing their assignments. So I do think time of possession will be important. I also think that time of possession can sometimes be overrated if you're giving up big plays. And
right.
I think that's where some of the games where we've had big plays, we might not win the time of possession, but you get those chunk plays. So I think it comes down to this game. Turnovers is always going to be significant, which indirectly is field position. Some turnovers hurt you, some really hurt you. And I think we've seen both of that this year. I also think big plays, they have the ability on offense and defense to create some big plays. They're the number one in sacks. Obviously, they have a threat at running back, receivers, a couple of them that can take any touch and go the distance. So I think it played out the last two times we played them. You know, some crucial turnovers and field position has been important, and as well as creating big plays and then also eliminating big plays.
Well, let's talk about one of those guys. Andre Ross had 175 yards in receiving last year, and if you're a cornerback, it's hard not to bite on that fake, but if he runs 12 yards down the field and makes an in fake and you try to jump it, he's behind you and it's an 80-yarder. How do you defend him?
He is, like a couple other receivers we face, very tough to defend. He has the speed and length to run by almost anybody, and he's also a threat if he catches a 5-yard hitch that can go the distance. You got to come up and tackle him. So sometimes you got to tip your hat to talent, and they have three or four offensive athletes that, you know, anytime they get in one-on-one open space, they're going to be tough to bring down. So I don't think you can just focus on one receiver, because actually their leading receiver, almost twice as many catches, is on the other side of it, who's also a fast, quick, elusive player. And then they have a running back in the backfield that, although right now they're rotating, they did that up to last year, and then, you know, he's getting ready for their final run of the season. We're going to see their number one running back often. And he's a guy that's, you know, big and strong and physical. So this will be a very good challenge, and in a lot of ways a tougher challenge for our defense than some of the other teams, because they have the balance. You know, some teams we face have been a little bit more pass heavy, some a little bit more run heavy. These guys have the ability to do both. They want to run the ball. They want to make you pack the box so that then all of a sudden they can get those one-on-one matchups. And in last year's game, you know, they had two big throws to Ross. Both of those obviously were significant in covering territory and leading to some touchdowns. So we know that they're going to have their shots for him and their shots for the couple of the other receivers. But they also, in 2019, we were trying to take away Ross, and at the end of the day, then the running back went off. So it's going to be a combination of a little bit of both and choosing your spots, and then really our defense getting stops at crucial situations.
What makes their passing game so good, among the many things, they complete 70%, is they pretty much only pass when they want to. So this is a game where you really want to try to get them in as many third and longs as you can and make them pass when they have to and not just when they want to.
Absolutely. They do a very good job of screen game, quick game, and that's why that percentage is so high. And then at the same time, they have the receivers and athletes to stretch you to, so they can, you know, run the ball inside. So yeah, it's going to be, our defense is going to have a good challenge. And then ultimately, like I said, in those passing downs, can we get off the field? Or, you know, in certain situations, you know, fourth down stop here, a turnover there, or holding them to a field goal instead of seven. All those are going to be little victories that are going to hopefully lead to a bigger victory.
Defensively, on their two deep chart, they list a 3-4. Do they really, is it a true 3-4, or are they still playing that kind of 5-3 stack where they pack the box?
Day one installation, I do think they're a base 3-4, three down linemen, four linebackers, you know, two safeties, two corners. One of them, and similar to what RPI was doing with that backside linebacker, oftentimes walks up, sometimes puts his hand on the ground, sometimes he stood up, but basically plays like a four-man front. He's more of a DN than a true linebacker. And then they blitz, and then they'll do some different things where they'll bring a fourth D lineman in. They'll play a five-man front often in some of the tighter formations we'll be in or on short yardage situations. So they're going to be multiple in what they do, but doing it sometimes with those linebackers standing up or putting their hand on the ground.
I like to ask this question in big games. What do we look for in the first several minutes of this game that tells us it's going Hobart's way?
I think for us, an early start. You know, last year we had a really good kickoff. We get down there, missed a play to execute one or two plays in offense, and then we had a bad protection call, and we get the field goal blocked. So similar to last week, if you go up 3-0, you're saying, all right, it's a solid start. Same thing defensively. Are we able to, you know, in 2019, we fell behind early against them. They did a long drive, then our quarterback threw a pick six. We really played really well the rest, but again, it's about a good quick start. So not so much the score. Obviously, you want to get ahead, but can both offense and defense combined with special teams, can we be in a solid situation where we're not giving ourselves a short field to defend or putting points on the board that we can control? And I think for us, possessing the ball. We got to be able to get some plays off here in the first quarter and ultimately hopefully getting points out of it, but more importantly, getting our offense into a rhythm, both pass and run, as we're going to try to be as balanced as, you know, same thing. The Union and Hobart are both going to have similar game plans on offense. Be balanced, get the run game going, and be opportunistic and when it's time to throw the ball.
Their coach, Jeff Bearman, took over a program that was 0-10 when he came in. You went to Endicott and tried to turn that program around. Talk about coming into a program that hasn't had success and what you have to do as a coach to change that mindset and turn that performance around.
Yeah, every school is different, and I think each path is a little different. But ultimately, when you go in, you got to be able to assess. And you know, what Union's done a really good job is they have the support. They've really committed support to help their program get going and support in a lot of different levels. And if there's not the support there, you know, it's going to be tough. You can change the culture. You can change a lot of things, what you are able to control as a coach. But if you don't have administrative support, it's only going to be, you know, only go so far. So credit to them. Obviously, a school that was very similar in a lot of ways, you know, and from a recruiting standpoint, academics, admissions-wise. They're committed to making sure that their team's going to be competitive and, you know, very similar in a lot of ways to Hobart in the sense of, you know, we recruit similar type of student athletes. And it's one of the reasons why this game's probably been such a rivalry for so long is two programs that, you know, take away their 0-10. They've have had success there before. Unfortunately, he came in right when they were on like a 3 or 4 year downswing. And I think a lot of it is reinvesting into their program in a lot of different ways. So they've gotten it going. They've been very successful the last couple of years, and that's why I think about the last 3 years we've played it. It's been one possession game. You're coming down to it, two out of the last three, and would have been in 2019 minus, you know, that slow start on our part. So I think anybody that, as long as both teams play well, this would be a game that should go the distance.
We've talked about, as a head coach, we haven't seen quite as much trickery out of you as we did as a coordinator. You got anything hidden in the basket for this one?
We always got things hidden in the basket. A lot of it's just it's the matchups. They play a quarters defense that they don't want anything to get over the top of them. So teams that have had success with them had to be patient choosing those times. And I think of every year we've played them, you know, we've been able to find the right opportunity to get over the top of them. Now do you execute when that throw is there? You know, running the ball is, you got to be patient because it's going to be tough to get that. But just the way the safeties leverage you with the quarters coverage, you know, anytime you do bust through where certain coverages, you might have more lanes at the second and third level. They do a pretty good job collapsing those lanes. And, you know, what could have been a, you know, 70-yard run is a 12 to 13-yard run, which are, again, great runs, but you got to be patient enough to keep doing it. So, you know, so I think that'll be the test to it. And, yeah, the head coach is always talking to the offensive coordinator over here. When is that right time to take that shot and do it? And, you know, we always go into every game with it. Just sometimes it's the timing of when to do it, and then do we think we can execute it.
If they get no big plays of, say, 40 yards or over, do you win this game?
I think it gives us a much better chance. I think of even the 2019 game played to our favor to a certain extent. Although we gave up a lot of yards rushing, you know, there was 20. I think the score ended up being 23-7, but we had a pick six, so there's 7 points there, and then another turnover led to a field goal, so there's 10 points. I think a lower scoring game, if you can keep that offense. I mean, they're obviously a prolific offense, but when they can get big plays in chunks, and they do it in their return game on special teams, the defense, like I said, with as many sacks and interceptions and turnovers and stuff as they have, they're able to create short fields for that offense. So we really going to have to do a really good job making sure that offensively we're sound, and when we take our chances and not hurting our defense, we can't have any turnovers that equal points or short fields. Special teams can't be a wash. We got to be able to find a way to win that advantage. And then ultimately our defense, like I said, knowing that we're going against a talented offense, it's time for us to rise up and show that we're a very good defense and be able to get stops and get them in situations they don't want to be in. And partly to who they've played, and up to this point, they've been in the situations where their offense has been able to dictate it. So if we can slow down and try to eliminate those big plays, I think that gives us more of those situations that's going to force us down to their execution versus just those big chunk plays.
You got the Hobart fans behind you, you got the Ithaca fans behind you, and you got the RPI fans behind
you. Yeah, we got everybody right now. So
everybody's a Hobart fan this week. Best of luck Saturday, Coach.
Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it.
That's the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall, Hobart and Union, Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Boz here on WEOS. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you go to subscribe to your podcasts. And, of course, you can find it at the home of all your sports information for the colleges. That's HWSAthletics.com. Until Saturday, have a great football week.